Our reading today, as I said, is going to come from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. It will be read by Sue Fernio. Over to Sue for our reading.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life sets you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realms of the flesh, but are in the realms of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue, very much for doing that for us. Let's pray. Father, as we engage with these verses, we pray that by your Spirit you will encourage us and help us to be secure in you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Romans 8 is for many a favourite chapter of the Bible. It starts with our justification, our being put right with God through Christ, and takes us through the experience of the receiving the Holy Spirit to the heart of our relationship as children of the Heavenly Father. In this process, Paul looks at our final destiny and how God will protect his people through trials and suffering. But before we plunge into the glory of this chapter, let's look at its overarching theme. Its overarching theme is the security of the Christian. A thing that's almost too amazing for us to take on board. Paul wants us to be absolutely sure that we are absolutely secure if we have trusted in the Lord Jesus. Now, when we get invitations for insurance policies, we know it will always say, check the small print. And although it will often claim that this will give you security for the next 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is, actually, as you read the small print, you think, not quite as secure as I thought it was. Lots of things in this world seem secure and actually aren't. And that's been our experience over these last weeks, hasn't it? We have known that actually, things that we thought were secure, like being able to see family and friends, haven't been. Things that we thought were just normal and natural, well, they are not anymore. But amazingly, many of us as Christians feel insecure when we shouldn't. This chapter will reassure us we have no condemnation, and that's an amazing thing. But also it'll ensure us that we have true freedom and that we have God on our side. So let's plunge in to the chapter today. The first thing is the basis of our security, and that is in verses 1 to 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The basis of our security is that we are in Christ Jesus. But what does that mean? It means that there is a historical event and a present experience, which together shows what it means to be in Christ Jesus. The historic event is the death of Jesus Christ. But look how Paul describes it. He assures us of its necessity. Not even the law of God could save us, not because there was anything wrong with it, but because we couldn't keep it. All the law could do would reveal sin and death. But if the death was necessary, it was also effective. God, through Jesus, who in an amazing and glorious extent was one of us, but not corrupted by our sinful nature, Jesus, who was one of us, effectively dealt with all our sinful nature. The perfect one, and there's a strong emphasis on that here, literally makes it possible that there is now no condemnation. The righteous requirements of the law were fully paid by the Lord Jesus on the cross. And so as we arrive at the gate of heaven, there will be no accusation against us. If we try to say, sorry, I got things wrong, Jesus will say, I dealt with that. The historical event of the cross gives us security. But that's a bit head, isn't it? But there is also a present experience, which is in our head and heart. The present experience is freedom from the law of sin and death through the Spirit, as verse 2 puts it. This liberation is the work of the Spirit. And Paul has experienced its great joy. Here in chapter 8, he personalizes this me, he says. He has and did experience this liberation and freedom himself. The law of the Spirit delivers us from bondage and death. It delivers us from condemnation. The Spirit takes the historic event of the cross and applies it to our heart so that we experience the freedom of the Spirit. That freedom is the freedom not to sin. Once we become a Christian, we have the choice whether to sin or not. We also have the freedom to face death confidently. Paul wants us to understand that those who are in Christ Jesus, who understand the cross, experience the Holy Spirit, that knows it's the Spirit's work in our life, can know that without doubt there is no condemnation now and on that last day. That's the liberating fact of the gospel. I can remember talking to a young man in Christianity Explained, and he got this. And he went, wow, that's amazing. And it absolutely is. And what do we contribute to our security? Well, our own sinful nature, and we can all manage that. What does God contribute to this security? Jesus and his sacrifice, the Holy Spirit and his work. Now you and I will think and believe, and rightly so, that we don't deserve such a thing. But that's the point. This is God's grace and mercy, that Paul has taken the last chapters of Romans to explain. We just have to recognize the immense privilege of being one who has true security. And if that's true, then Paul goes on to explain the consequences. And what he says is that the first consequence is that we'll have a new mindset, and that's in verses 5 to 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Now, Paul explains what life in the Spirit feels like by giving us these descriptions of two very different people. He will return to this later. The non-Christian is those who are not in Christ Jesus, those who live according to the sinful nature. Verse 5, have their mind set on natural fallen desires. Note where their mind is set. It leads to death, spiritual death, and therefore eternal death. They're alienated from God. They're hostile to God, and they cannot please God. What a description. But for the Christian, listen to this. Their mind is set on what the Spirit desires. Note that doesn't mean that every minute of every day we have that, but it means it's our new focus. We're alive to God, thirsty for him, at peace with God and in tune with his ways. And we can have been that in these different days, just as much as in what used to be our normal life. Paul is crystal clear what an amazing privilege it is to have this new mindset, because then we are alive to God's ways, in line with him and at peace with him. The Spirit gives us that new mindset. We begin to see things in different ways, and we know that to be true if we have experienced it. But we also have a wonderful presence, verse 9. You who are, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Paul speaks of a wonderful presence, again contrasting two people. Again, this is personal. You, he says, you Romans are not controlled by the sinful nature, by the Spirit of God. Because you are a Christian, you have the Spirit. Paul makes it crystal clear that the moment we become a Christian, the Spirit is given to us. He comes and lives inside us. All Christians have the Spirit living in them and are controlled by the Spirit. There is not a hierarchy here. If you think, gosh, they're a Christian, but they don't have a Spirit, the Spirit, Paul would say, you're saying they're not a Christian. The whole point of this is that when we come to be in Christ Jesus, we have this wonderful presence of the Spirit living inside us. Now, that's not to deny that sometimes we feel the Spirit's presence more than others. That's true. That's from a whole host of factors, how we're feeling, where we are in our walk with God, all that sort of stuff. But we need to recognize that the moment we become a Christian, God, by his Spirit, comes and lives inside us. We have a new presence. And so we have been made alive. Not because we've earned it, but because of God's gift of Jesus' righteousness. We have the wonderful presence of God with us by his Spirit. But we're also told in those verses that we're given a new way of living. Therefore, brothers, verse 12, and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. We have a new way of living. We live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And Paul talks about it as an obligation. And he's crystal clear on this, that if we come to Christ, we have an obligation to live, knowing the Spirit's presence and listening to his voice, often through God's word, so that we begin to live as Father, Son, and Spirit want us to, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That's his point, you see, that we will live by putting to death the misdeeds of the body. We have an obligation to put to death those misdeeds, to by the Spirit change, to be led by the Spirit so we become more like Jesus. The amazing truth is that if Christ dwells in us by his Spirit gives us the ability to deal with the sin in our life, to become more like Jesus. Now, we won't perfectly do it. That's why we say the confession week by week. But we should see the Spirit beginning to lead us in those ways. We need the help of the Spirit to put to death the misdeeds of the body. We cannot do it in our own strength. But we have an obligation to be involved in that process, to put away the things like anger and jealousy and coveting what others have and all those things that easily entrap us. So we have a new way of living because we are in Christ Jesus. Do you ask the Spirit to help you to put to death the misdeeds of the body, to lead you to be more like Jesus? Do you cooperate in living in this new way? And that obligation, that call, is as much today as it was 3 months ago. We continue to have a new way of living by the Spirit's power. Then the Spirit gives us true freedom. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The 21st century mind, experiences much more, or is easier with the idea of freedom rather than the idea of obligation. But here Paul explains that we have both. Yes, he's talked about our obligation, but now he says we have freedom, freedom from fear. We live in a world where there is so much fear at the moment. What happens as we come out of lockdown? What will happen? Will we have a spike? We have the opportunity to offer ourselves and then others a freedom from fear. Why do we not fear? Because we are given sonship. And Paul uses the word sonship because he wants us to understand that in Rome, an adoptive son had the same rights as a naturally born son. So as adoptive sons, he's saying, we have the same right as Jesus. And the amazing thing of that is I was at New Wine one time and there was a guy explaining this and he said, I know some of you ladies may object to be calling sons, but I have to accept being a bride because the church is the bride of Christ. So we all have something we have to deal with. And I just found that really helpful because the point about sonship is the absolute security. Once you are an adopted son, you have the same rights as the naturally born son. And that gives us a wonderful place of freedom. I've had the privilege of being in courtrooms where children have been told that they've got their forever families. And the sense of security the child feels if they're old enough when that is given is just so amazing. That's the security that God wants us to have. The wonderful freedom of being a Christian that we do not have to fear. We have the best father in the world. Some of us may have had not very good experiences of fatherhood, but this father will never let us down. So will you enjoy the fact that you are a child of God this day? Will you accept the Spirit's work in helping you to know that? The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are a child of God. Sometimes we think, I don't know why you love me, God, but I'm so glad you do. That's the Spirit at work with our spirit, reminding us of the amazing freedom of being a loved child of God. This week, may you know that you are God's loved child, whatever this week throws at you. If you trust in the Lord Jesus, this is what you have. The Spirit at work in you brings all these real experiences. Will you, this week, enjoy that? And as we approach Pentecost, celebrate that the Spirit is at work in you. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who gives us so much. Thank you for the cross of Christ, but thank you for our present experience of the Spirit at work. Help us this week to be aware of his presence in us in new and fresh ways. In Jesus' name, amen.